three times in just a few short verses there in 2 Peter, Peter mentions the importance of remembering, remembrance. He brings that up three times. It's important to be reminded of Bible truth. And this evening, if you'll turn back with me to the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy, we're going to look at a book that is primarily Moses reminding the children of Israel of some important truths to look toward God. I thought of this lesson this evening because of our upcoming series, and we want to continue to announce that that series is about home and family. And it's a special approach in that Kevin is going to bring those lessons from the book of Deuteronomy. We may not think of Deuteronomy as a book for home and family, but there are a number of good lessons there that he'll be bringing out. And I was talking with Kevin recently, and he said that he plans to go through different parts of the book of Deuteronomy that weekend. And I thought this evening we can remind ourselves of what that book is about. I will not be stepping on his territory. I'm not going to talk about home and family tonight. Kevin can probably do a better job than I on that. So we're going to let him do that. But what I wanted to do was, I wanted to go through and just remind us of what this book is about. So when we're going through those series of lessons and we find ourselves in this chapter or in that chapter of Deuteronomy, where are we? What is it that we're looking at? And I hope that that'll be helpful to us this evening. Sometimes people, as they go through life, find themselves looking in the wrong place for help. They might look out into the world. They might look to friends. There are different things that are going on in their life. They might look to something in social media or something that is going on popular in culture. But when we face different kinds of things in life, who or what do we turn to look to for guidance and help? When people find themselves in unfaithfulness, who do they turn to? When people find themselves experiencing bad things, when bad things happen to good people, who do they turn to for guidance and help? When deciding how to live, and when we're making choices and making plans and deciding what's best for our life as we go through, who do we turn to for guidance and help? The book of Deuteronomy is essentially a reminder by Moses through a series of what I'm going to call sermons. They're not called that in the book. The text says that Moses began to speak to the children of Israel. I'm going to call them sermons. Others have called them sermons. But when he begins to preach these sermons, if you will, it's basically a reminder to look to God in every aspect of our life. Moses is going to preach to a new generation of Israelites who are about to enter into Canaan land. He is about to die and pass on the leadership to Joshua. And over the course of about a month, he wants to remind them to look toward God in every aspect of their life. If Genesis is the origin of a nation, and Exodus is the redemption of a nation, and Leviticus is the holy life of a nation, and Numbers is the testing of a nation, then Deuteronomy would certainly be reminders to a nation. In chapter 29 and verse 1, the text says that Moses gave a law. And it was besides the law that he gave at Mount Sinai. That's where we get our title, Deuteronomy. It's a Greek word that literally means second law. Deutero, second, and nomos, law, Deuteronomy, the second giving of the law. And so these are the words of the covenant which Jehovah commanded Moses to make with the children of Israel in the land of Moab, besides the covenant which he made with them at Horeb or Mount Sinai. This is the second giving of the law. It's an adaptation, it's an expansion, it's a renewal of the law that was given at Mount Sinai. Deuteronomy, second law. And They have completed the wilderness wandering. They're on the plains of Moab, and Moses has a great opportunity to speak to a new generation of Israelites who've come out of Egypt. He wants them to look toward God in all areas of their life. What we're going to find this evening is that Moses is going to preach four sermons. Now, he didn't preach them all at once. As I mentioned earlier, I may have said a month, maybe more like 2 months, a period of time that these messages are given. And in these four sermons, there are going to be four different looks. And we're going to find this evening that those four different looks are what we have in our life today. Sometimes it's important to look back. Number two, sometimes it's important to look inward at what's going on in our life. Number three, sometimes it's important to look ahead. And then number four, sometimes it's important to look around and see what God wants us to be doing and how He's acting in our life. Let's look at a survey of the book of Deuteronomy, and let's begin in chapter 1, if you'll turn with me there. What is the book of Deuteronomy? So when Kevin is taking us through this book, in our upcoming series, Lord willing, we look forward to that. What are we going to be looking at? What are we reading in this book? Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verse 1. These are the words which Moses spake unto all Israel beyond the Jordan, in the wilderness, in the Arabah, over against Suth, between Paran and Tophel, and Laban, and Hazeroth, and Dizahab. It is 11 days' journey from Horeb, or Mount Sinai, by way of Mount Seir unto Kadesh Barnea. And it came to pass in the 40th year, in the 11th month, on the first day of the month, that Moses spake unto the children of Israel according unto all that Jehovah had given him in commandment unto them. After he had smitten Sihon, the king of the Amorites, who dwelt in Heshbon, and Og, the king of Bashan, who dwelt in Ashtaroth at Edrei. Beyond the Jordan, in the land of Moab, began Moses to declare this law. Notice how these sermons are described as law. And what is the first thing that Moses says in verse 6? Jehovah our God spake unto us in Horeb, saying, you have dwelt long enough in this mountain. Turn you and take your journey and go to the hill country of the Amorites and unto all the places nigh thereunto in the Arabah, in the hill country and in the lowland and in the south and by the seashore, the land of the Canaanites and Lebanon as far as the great river Euphrates. Now, if I stood up this evening or at any time and I began my sermon by saying, now let's go back 40 years and talk about, maybe our eyes would begin to roll back in our head and think, oh, wait a minute, we're going to have a history lesson. That's exactly the first sermon of Moses. The first sermon of Moses is a look back. So when you're reading in your book of Deuteronomy, the first four chapters of Deuteronomy, you're looking at a history sermon, a sermon where Moses is going to start with Mount Sinai and work all the way up through, hitting some of the highlights of the wilderness wandering. Now, I happen to like history. Sometimes history can be boring. Sometimes history can be tedious. But it's very important from time to time to look back. And so Moses, in this first sermon, is going to be taking a retrospective look. We need to look back and see what God has done for us. Our first point this evening, brethren, is that when we go through life and we're looking to God, one of the first things we need to do is look back. Look back to the period of the New Testament and what Christ did on the cross. And what the church beginning on the day of Pentecost, what has God done for us? History is very good in that regard. So when you're reading chapters 1 through 4, as I mentioned, you're reading some of the highlights of the children of Israel from Mount Sinai up to the plains of Moab. Now turn with me to chapter 4 and verse 32. what's the point of going back and looking at some history? What's the point of going back and looking to see what God has done? Brethren, if we will periodically go back and remind ourselves of what God has done for us, it will impress us about the nature of God. And it will remind us that we need to be obeying Him. We serve a God who created man upon the earth. And we're going to read this in just a minute. The greatness of God, that's what history does for us. When we look back and see what God has done, it's not just a geography lesson. It's not just spots on a map and distances between this point and that point and a few historical intricacies or niceties along the way. It's to show the greatness of God. Look at chapter 4 and verse 32. In each of these four sermons, I want to pick out just a few examples of what these sermons are supposed to do. Chapter 4, verse 32. For ask now of the days that are past. The first sermon was like a history lesson. Which were before thee, since the day that God created man upon the earth, even going back before Mount Sinai, going all the way back to Genesis 1 and verse 1 in the creation of Adam and Eve, that God created man upon the earth, and from the one end of heaven unto the other, whether there hath been any such thing as this great thing is, or hath been heard like it. Did ever a people hear the voice of God speaking out of the midst of the fire, as thou hast heard and live? Or hath God essayed or attempted to go and take him a nation from the midst of another nation by trials, by signs, and by wonders, and by war, and by a mighty hand, and by an outstretched arm, and by great terrors, according to all that Jehovah your God did for you in Egypt before your eyes? Unto thee it was showed that thou mightst know that Jehovah, He is God. Underscore that in your Bible. That's the whole point of looking back. So that we can be reminded and know that God is the Lord. And look at what He has done over the past 40 years. From time to time, we need to be reminded that in various aspects of our life, we need to be looking to thee from day to day, as we sang in our song. That's a good song. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah. He truly is the great one. And so, verse 35, that you may know that Jehovah, He is God, and there is none else besides Him. I don't need to be looking at anybody else for guidance. I don't need to be looking at anything else for help. There is none else who can do this kind of thing, and we live in a very secular world that is taking people away from God in the droves, and we need to come back to the very one who can help us. Verse 36, out of heaven He made thee to hear His voice, that He might instruct thee, and upon the earth He made thee to see His great fire, and thou heardest His words out of the midst of the fire. And because He loved thy fathers, therefore He chose their seed after them, and brought thee out of His presence with great power out of Egypt, to drive out nations from before thee, greater and mightier than thou, to bring thee in, to give thee their land for an inheritance this day. Know therefore this day, and lay it to heart, that Jehovah, He is God. That's the second time. That's the whole point, Moses is saying, of my first sermon. It's not just dry, dusty, dirty history. It's to remind us of the greatness of God. He is God in heaven above and upon the earth beneath. There is none else. And then look at it. And thou shalt keep His statutes and His commandments, which I command thee this day, that it may go well with thee and with thy children after thee, that thou mayest prolong thy days in the land which Jehovah thy God giveth thee forever. The first sermon of Moses is a looking back, so that we can be impressed with the greatness of God. Now turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 5. The second sermon of Moses, the text says in verse 1, and Moses called unto all Israel, and said unto them, Hear, O Israel, the statutes and the ordinances which I speak in your ears this day, that you may learn them and observe to do them. And he's going to begin with what we call the Ten Commandments. The second sermon of Moses is a look within. It's an introspective look. It's no longer looking backward in history, but let's look within to see what God's law and how God's law is to be applied in our lives today. I need to be following God's law, and I need to look in myself. As Paul would say in 2 Corinthians 13, examine yourselves to see if you're in the faith, verse 5. I need to take an introspective look. There's times to look backward, and there's also times to look inward and say, am I following the law of God? In this case today, the law of Christ. So when we're in the section of Deuteronomy that deals with chapters 5 through 26, it's all of the laws that are given. And there's a bunch of them. You're looking at the section of Deuteronomy where Moses is recalling the various laws for Israel, beginning with the Ten Commandments. And there's all kinds of things there. There's marriage. There is how to treat foreigners, there's work, there's how to treat your neighbor, there's various laws concerning worshiping God, later on the giving of the cities of refuge, there's all kinds of eating flesh and what kinds of animals to eat and not eat, and there's just all kinds of laws. But what is that? It's to say, who am I as an Israelite? I am someone who's to be following the law of God. Let's look at a couple examples. Turn with me to chapter 7, verses 6 through 11. This section of Deuteronomy with all these laws is meant for Moses to get the children of Israel to look inside themselves and remind themselves that they are to be a holy people. And God's law is what makes me separate and apart from the world. Am I really following the law of God each and every day? Chapter 7, verse 6, For thou art a holy people unto Jehovah thy God. Jehovah thy God hath chosen thee to be a people for his own possession, above all peoples that are upon the face of the earth. Jehovah did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people. For you were the fewest of all peoples, but because Jehovah loveth you and because he would keep the oath which he sware unto your fathers, hath Jehovah brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondage from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that Jehovah thy God, he is God. Notice that repetition. We saw that back in chapter 4. The faithful God who keeps covenant and loving kindness with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. Verse 6, you're a holy people. And I'm giving you these laws not just simply to burden you or to weigh you down or to give you a whole list of things to do. The Pharisees counted the laws in the Old Testament and came up with a little over 600 laws. It wasn't just simply to burden them down and just give them a whole big old list of things to do, but to keep them holy and separate from the world around them. Clean, righteous. Verse 10, God repays them that hate him to their face to destroy them. He will not be slack to him that hateth him. He will repay to his face. Thou shalt therefore keep the commandment and the statutes and the ordinances which I command thee this day to do them. You're a holy people. Look inside yourselves. As you move forward, you're going to cross the Jordan, you're going to go over into the land of Canaan. You need to be looking back and remembering the greatness of God. Number two, you need to be looking inward and making sure that each and every day you are living by the law of God. Look at another example of this. Turn with me to chapter 14, verses 1 and 2. Buried in this section, 5 through 26, of all these laws are these statements that remind us of what's going on in this second sermon. You are the children of Israel, your God. You shall not cut yourselves, nor make any baldness between your eyes for the dead. Look at this. For thou art a holy people unto Jehovah thy God. And Jehovah hath chosen thee to be a people for his own possession above all the peoples that are upon the face of the earth. I'm giving you this law so that you can be separate from the sinful world around you. So in Moses' second sermon, he's going to give all of the laws. And it's to look within to see what God expects of us. And we'll make some application toward us later in the lesson. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 27. When we get to the portion of Deuteronomy chapter 27 and we've gone through all of these different laws, when you come to chapter 27, you're coming to Moses' third sermon. The look is a little bit different. Now we are looking ahead. We're looking ahead. As we go through life each day, there's times when we need to look back. There's times when we need to look within and make sure, am I following the law of God? And we also need to be forward thinking. We need to be looking toward what God is going to do in the future. So when we come to Deuteronomy 27 through 30, we're looking at the look ahead to see what God will do for you. If you obey Him, He will reward you. If you disobey Him, He will punish you. Look at Deuteronomy 27, verse 1. And Moses and the elders of Israel commanded the people, saying, keep all the commandment which I command you this day. And it shall be on the day when you shall pass over the Jordan unto the land which Jehovah thy God giveth thee, that thou shalt set up a great stones and plaster them with plaster, and thou shalt write upon them all the words of this law. And he goes on to talk about how that they will be gathered at Mount Ebal and Mount Gerizim to rehearse the blessings and the cursings. Look at verse 11. And Moses charged the people the same day, saying, these shall stand upon Mount Gerizim to bless the people when you are passed over the Jordan. And he lists those. And then there's cursings. And come on down with me to chapter 28, verses 1 through 6. This is a section where Moses is saying, when you get over into the land, you got to look ahead. You got to look ahead. And there is great blessing in obedience, but there's also great cursing and punishment when you disobey. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 1. It shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently, this is in the future, look ahead. If you will hearken diligently unto the voice of Jehovah thy God to observe to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that Jehovah thy God will set thee on high above all the nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon thee and overtake thee, and thou shalt hearken unto the voice of Jehovah thy God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of the ground, and the fruit of the beast, and the increase of the cattle, and the young of the flock. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy kneading trough. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed thou shalt be when thou goest out. God is going to reward you with good things when you obey him. And that's an incentive toward obedience. But look at verses 15 through 19. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of Jehovah thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Cursed, almost the opposite of what was just said. Cursed thou shalt be in the city, and cursed thou shalt be in the field, and cursed shalt thou be thy basket and thy kneading trough, and cursed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of the ground, and the increase of the cattle, and the young of thy flock. Cursed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shalt thou be when thou goest out. And like the book of Leviticus, there's portions in the book of Leviticus where there are fearful consequences of disobedience listed here. There's going to be famine in the land. There's going to be different ways that God will punish them, including taking them off to other nations. You've got to look ahead. And as we go through life, we've got to look ahead. We've got a coming judgment day. We've got to look ahead and be prospective and ask ourselves, am I going to be getting God's blessings tomorrow on Monday? Or am I going to be getting God's cursing? Am I going to be obeying tomorrow or disobeying? I've got to look ahead. I can't live for the moment. So much of today is living for the moment. So much of it. So much of it is just right now. I call it the Esau syndrome. I'm hungry. I got to have something to eat. And he sells his birthright. So much of life today is just living for the moment, making decisions just for the moment. People won't look ahead and ask themselves, what is the consequence of what I'm about to do? What is the consequence of the choices that I'm making right now in my life? We just live for the moment. And Moses in this third sermon is saying, you can't just live for the moment. You've got to think about when you get over into that land, what's going to happen. If you obey, there's going to be great things. If you disobey, there's going to be punishment. You've got to look ahead. And you've got to think ahead. And of course, the same is true for our life today. And so turn over to chapter 30, the end of this section, this third sermon, chapter 30. Moses lays it out as a choice. God doesn't force you and I to obey or disobey. He lays it out as a choice. He lays out the blessings, he lays out the cursings, and then you have free will, I have free will to make that choice. And so Moses, coming down to this end of this particular sermon, lays it out there and encourages the audience to choose life. Verse 15, I have set before thee this day life and good and death and evil. That's the blessings and the cursings that are mentioned in the previous chapters. I've said it before you. I've laid it all out there. In fact, if you look at chapters 27, 28, 29, there's a lot of details there about what's going to happen. He just lays it out there, and some of it's very detailed as to what's going to happen. You've got to choose. And I encourage you to choose life and good. And so, the well-known verse in chapter 30 and verse 19. I have called heaven and earth to witness against you this day that I have set before thee life and death, the blessing and the curse. Therefore, choose life that thou mayest live, thou and thy seed. And there were times in Israel's history when they did that. And then there were times, of course, when they did not. And later in their history, Israel is taken away into the Assyrian captivity and Judah into the Babylonian captivity because they got to the point where they no longer as a whole did not want to choose life and good. They chose the other. And so God brought those curses to pass. Turn with me to Deuteronomy 31. When we get toward the end of the book then, we're looking at Moses' fourth and final sermon. And it's what I would describe as looking outward to see what God is to you. There's a focus in these last few chapters. There's some wrapping up of the law and putting the law in the Ark of the Covenant and some wrapping up of different things between Moses and the priest. But if you'll notice in Deuteronomy chapter 32 and in Deuteronomy chapter 33, that's what we call the Song of Moses. And then in chapter 33, the blessings of Moses. And in this song and in this blessing, there is an emphasis on God and who God is. And Moses is saying, we need to look outward right now and see this God whom we serve. And so there's a circumspective look, and that is each and every day I look outward and I remind myself of God's nature and who it is that I serve. Look at Deuteronomy 32 and verse 3. After a few introductory remarks to this final sermon, Moses says in Deuteronomy 32 and verse 3, for I will proclaim the name of Jehovah, ascribe ye greatness unto our God, the Rock, capital R. And if you take notes in your Bible, you're going to notice that in chapter 32, there are several references to God as the Rock, capital R. He is the Rock, not a rock, the Rock. The picture and the figure of stability, a foundation, a certainty, that which is firm, that which is strong, God is the Rock. Verse 4, his work is perfect, for all his ways are justice, a God of faithfulness and without iniquity. Just and right is he. There is so much packed into that verse, it's amazing. But we have to look out and see the greatness of God that we serve each and every day. And when you take time to read chapter 32, if you read from verses 5 down through 14, you're going to be reading about all of the positive and good things that the rock has done for Israel. But starting in verse 15 through the end of the chapter, when Israel disobeyed God, the same rock was severe in judging them. Verse 36, God will judge his people. The point of the song is to talk about God, the two different natures of God. He's both good and severe. The goodness and the severity of God. And this rock whom we serve, Moses says, will bless you and will be good toward you in your obedience. Verse 15, but Jeshurun, another name for Israel, waxed or grew fat and kicked. They didn't want God. Verse 15, they forsook God. And from there on in the rest of the song, it's about God's punishment. Every day we have to look out and remind ourselves of the twofold nature of God. Look with me at chapter 33. Much of it is Moses blessing the different children of Israel. But when you come down to the end of that blessing, look with me at chapter 33, one more reference to God, verse 27. Verse 26. There is none likened unto God, O Jeshurun, who rides upon the heavens for thy help, and in his excellency on the skies. The eternal God is thy dwelling place. And underneath are the everlasting arms. And he thrusts out the enemy from before thee and said, destroy. This God, when you combine what is said back in chapter 32 and verse 4 with the eternal nature of God and the everlasting nature of God, this is the God we serve. And it's good to be reminded of that every day. And Israel dwells in safety, the fountain of Jacob alone, in a land of grain and new wine. Yea, his heavens drop down dew. Happy art thou, O Israel, who is likened unto thee, a people saved by Jehovah. The salvation of God. The shield of thy help. God is a savior. Number two, God is a protector. And the sword of thy excellency. God is a warrior. And thine enemies shall submit themselves unto thee, and thou shalt tread upon their high places. And then, of course, the closing chapter is the death of Moses. The four sermons of Moses. It's important to look back to see what God has done for you. Number two, to look within to see what God expects of you living by His law. Number three, to look ahead to see what God will do to you or for you if you obey or disobey. And finally, look around and remind yourself of the God that you serve and who He is to you. As we close this evening then, Deuteronomy is basically a reminder to look to God. And today we need to be like those Israelites. We need to look back. We must always look back and remember what God has done for us. What is the Lord's Supper? 1 Corinthians 11:23. What is the Lord's Supper? The Lord's Supper and other things are to remind us of what God has done for us on the cross and in the establishment of the church and the giving of Scripture. Look at all of the good things that God has done for us in forgiveness of sins and giving us prayer where we can communicate with Him, giving us a local church where we have a spiritual family to encourage us. Looking back is very important as we go through life. What has God done for us? When we read our New Testaments, let's remember what God has done for us and how great He is. Number two, when we read our New Testaments, we need to look within and ask ourselves, am I living by the law of Christ? Am I a holy people? And there are a number of laws in the law of Christ. And they address every aspect of my life. But again, like the law of Moses, it's not just simply a set of rules to make God's people, their life, difficult. But to keep us holy and separate apart from the world, am I living and walking by the law of Christ? let's look within each day and ask ourselves that. And if the answer is no, let's get back to living by the law of Christ. And each day I need to be looking ahead. And I need to be ready for the coming judgment day. I don't need to live for the moment. Jesus said in John 5:29 that there's going to be a resurrection of the just and of the unjust. There's going to be a resurrection of the righteous and the wicked. And where am I going to be in that resurrection day? I've got to look ahead. And in the same way, in the New Testament, God promises us blessings when we obey, and He promises cursings when we disobey. And I need to be looking ahead and making sure that I'm on that right side of judgment. And then, I need to be looking out. Each day, I need to be looking outward to see the God that I serve. As Paul writes, He is a God who is the goodness and the severity of God. In today's world, God is lopsided. He's one-sided. God's this doting grandfather up in heaven. He's got this long white beard, and He looks down, and He just condones everybody's lifestyles. I'm happy with everybody. God today is lopsided in the picture of many today. But Paul says, behold the goodness and the severity of God. He's still our rock. But He is a rock of faithfulness and righteousness and justice and fairness and all of those qualities that Moses mentioned. He's still those things. And that's the God we serve. Brethren, it's good for us, like that new generation of Israel, to be reminded. It's good for us to go back and get reminders. And so in a couple of weeks, Lord willing, when we have our series and we're going through the book of Deuteronomy, I hope that this will help us to understand where we are when we get to the different portions of the book. And we all need reminders. Sometimes we need a reminder because we forget. I'm getting to that part of my life where I get forgetful of things. Sometimes we need reminders because we forget. Sometimes we need reminders because we're slow learners. We just need some time to learn more and let something sink in. Sometimes we need reminders, as in the case of Moses with this new generation. A new generation of people come along and they've never heard what's in the Bible. And they need to hear things. Young people need to hear things. Each new generation that comes along needs to hear the Word of God. So reminders are good. Peter recognized that. He said, I'm going to do all that I can before I die to remind you of things, even in cases of things that you already know. But to remind you, your look in life and my look in life is very important. We have to look backward. We have to look within. We have to look ahead. And we have to look outward. And when we do that each and every day, we will be letting God guide us all the way to that promised land. There may be someone here this evening that needs to come to God, to be reminded to look to Him, to come and be baptized into Christ, or to come back to the Lord in some way. He's not been our guide as He should, and we want Him to guide us more in the future. We can assist you in doing that. We are in a pilgrimage. We're journeying, just like the Israelites were journeying to Canaan land. We're journeying to our Canaan land, our promised land, our rest land, Hebrews chapter 4. And we've got to have the right look each and every day. And I hope that this lesson has helped us along those lines. If we can assist you, if we can help you in some way, why won't you come as we stand and sing this invitation song?